All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're looking at something a little different, kind of a quirky corner of the law, at least here in the US, adverse possession.
It's a strange one.
This idea that you can actually legally like take someone else's land, not steal it, but legally, just by using it a certain way for a certain amount of time. It's kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, it does seem counterintuitive. I
Right.
mean, especially in a system like ours, where property rights are, so fundamental, in the Constitution and all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it actually serves some really interesting, I guess you could say, purposes, like clearing up old boundary disputes, or ensuring that land that might otherwise just sit idle gets put to use, for the benefit of society.
Right, so it's this weird tension, between those two ideas.
Right, yeah.
But today, we're going to really try to unpack how it works. We're going to be focusing on a Rhode Island Supreme Court case. It's called Levy-Raymond, and it was decided back in 1983.
Oh yeah, I remember reading about this one.
Yeah, it's a real classic. It just lays out all those specific requirements for adverse possession here in Rhode Island. It's really good for, getting a grasp on what it all means. So this case, it all started in New Shoreham, Rhode Island, and it was between two families, as these things often are, the Lees and the Raymonds, and they had these neighboring properties.
Classic neighbor dispute.
Yeah,
Yeah.
totally. Right. And the whole thing, the heart of it, was this disagreement over this little strip of land, right,
Right.
between their properties.
That happens all the time. People, I mean, it seems small, but it becomes a big deal, you know?
Huge deal.
Yeah.
Especially because, the Lees, they thought that their property line was this drainage ditch. Right. And they had acted like that was the boundary for almost 20 years. Right. But the Raymonds, they were claiming that no, the real property line is actually this stone wall.
Oh, so they were pretty far apart in their understanding of where the line was.
Oh yeah. And this difference and how the Lees had used that land, based on what they believed, it really gets to the heart of how adverse possession works.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a perfect illustration.
So, we've got the Lees on one side. They think they know where the line is, right? They've been using the land, and then bam, the Raymonds come along with a different idea based on what's, written down on paper.
Yeah, the official documents.
Exactly. So the question becomes, how did the Lees, who were wrong about the ditch, actually end up owning that land legally, even though their deed didn't say so?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah, it's the legal puzzle that we're going to try to solve today.
All right, let's crack it open.
So let's rewind a bit. Let's go back to 1956. This is when the Lees bought their property. And from the very beginning, they believed that that ditch was their northern boundary line.
Okay, so they were acting in good faith, it sounds like.
Totally, totally. They really thought that was their property. And for the next like almost 2 decades, 19 years, they used that land, that strip of land, like it was theirs.
Really? I mean, what does that look like? Using it like it's theirs.
Yeah, they weren't just, like walking across it every now and then. They were actually like taking care of it.
Oh.
They cleared brush.
Okay.
And get this, they even built a road on the
A
land.
road. Wow.
Yeah, like a real, road. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, that's pretty major. I mean, that's not just, stepping on the grass.
No. It's like a real investment in the land. And that shows like a real intention to use it, right?
Family.
Yeah.
You're not building a road if you don't think you're going to be using it.
Exactly. And not only that, they even let utility companies like run lines and stuff across the property. They gave them easements.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
That's a huge deal.
it's like, you wouldn't really do that if you didn't think you owned the land.
No, not at all.
And here's another interesting thing. So in 1975, the state actually came in and cultivated the land for wildlife use.
Rare.
And they did this with the Lee's permission.
So again, they're acting like the owners.
Exactly. They're like making decisions about how that land's being used.
Totally.
So everything's, kind of going along. The Lees are doing their thing.
Right.
But then in 1975, the Raymonds, the neighbors, they come in and they say, "Hold on a second.
Oh no, here we go.
Yeah, they say the real boundary, you know, it's not that drainage ditch you guys have been using.
Right.
It's the stone wall.
Oh boy.
And that's where the legal battle begins, you know?
Yeah, that's when things go from friendly neighborly chats to, lawyers' letters.
Exactly. So the case, it goes to trial,
Yeah.
and the court actually, they look at the deeds, you know, all the official paperwork,
Right.
and they say, you know what? The Raymonds are right. The stone wall, that is the legal boundary according to the documents.
Okay, so round one goes to the Raymonds.
Yeah, it seems like it, right?
Yeah.
But here's the twist.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
The trial court still awarded the land, that disputed piece of land, to the Lees.
What? How does that even happen?
That's adverse possession.
That's wild.
Right. Even though technically, legally, the Raymonds were right about where the boundary was, the Lees still got the land.
Okay, so we really need to dig into how that's even possible. What are the legal gymnastics that make that happen?
So the big question that this case had to answer was, could the Lees, you know, could they actually get legal title to that strip of land, even though it wasn't on their deed?
Through this adverse possession thing,
Like,
right?
exactly.
Yeah.
So to figure that out, we got to look at the rules, the specific requirements that Rhode Island has for adverse possession.
Okay, lay on me.
So they have six key elements, six things you have to prove, right? And you got to prove them, you know, pretty convincingly. The law calls it clear and convincing evidence.
So like not just more likely than not, but like you got to really show the judge you've got the goods.
Yeah, it's a high bar.
Okay.
So what are these magical six elements?
Them.
Number one, the possession has to be actual.
Okay, that makes sense. You got to actually be doing something on the land.
Exactly. Not just, you know, thinking about it, you know, or whatever. You're actually there. You're using it.
Right.
Number two, it has to be open.
Okay, so not hiding in the bushes.
Exactly. You're not trying to be sneaky about it. You're out in the open. Everyone can see you using the land.
Okay, so it's like putting the true owner on notice, like, hey, I'm here, this is what I'm doing.
Exactly. Number three, it has to be notorious.
Notorious. That sounds serious.
Yeah, it is. It means like you're not just using the land, you're using it in a way that's so visible and obvious that like any reasonable person would know you were claiming it as your own.
So it's like building a giant castle or something.
Well, maybe not that extreme, but yeah, you know, you're making it really clear that you're treating the land as yours.
Got it.
Number four is it has to be hostile.
Hostile. So now we're talking like, pitchforks and torches.
No. This one's always a little tricky.
Okay.
It doesn't actually mean like, you know, being mean to your neighbor or anything like that.
Okay, so no angry letters.
Not necessarily. What it means legally is that you're using the land without the owner's permission.
Okay.
Right. And you're doing it in a way that like goes against their rights as the owner.
So it's like asserting your own ownership, even if you don't technically have it yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, you're claiming it as yours, even if you don't have the paperwork to back it up.
Okay, I'm starting to get it.
Element number five is it has to be under claim of right.
Under claim of right. What's that all about?
This one means you're using the land like you're the owner
Okay.
with the intention of actually owning it, whether or not, you know, you're right about that in the beginning.
So back to our case, the Lees thought the ditch was the boundary. So in their mind, they were acting under claim of right.
Exactly. They thought they had the right to use that land,
Even if it was a mistake.
even if it was a mistake. And the last element, number six, is that it has to be continuous and exclusive for at least 10 years.
Okay, continuous meaning you're not just popping in every once in a while, and exclusive meaning you're the only one using it.
Right. You're using it consistently over time and you're not sharing it with anyone else, especially not the real owner.
All right, so those are the six hurdles you got to clear for adverse possession.
Exactly.
And those are the ones the Lees had to prove in their case.
Right. So let's see how they stacked up.
All right, let's break it down.
First up, actual possession. What did the Lees actually do on that land that convinced the court, you know, that they were really possessing it?
Well, remember that road they built?
Yeah, huge.
That's a pretty clear sign of actual possession. I mean, they were physically altering the land, investing in it.
Right. It wasn't just, you know, like picking wildflowers.
They were shaping the land to their needs. And clearing brush, that shows they were maintaining it, treating it like part of their property.
Right.
And the easements for the utilities, that's basically saying, hey, you can use my land to run your lines.
Right. Huge.
Pretty big owner move.
Yeah.
And even though the state cultivating the land was later on, they got permission from the Lees.
Right.
So again, they're acting like the owners.
Totally. So I guess the court was convinced that the Lees weren't just, you know, like passing through that land every once in a while. They were actively using it and treating it like it was their own.
Totally.
Okay, so they cleared that first hurdle. What about open and notorious possession?
Well, I mean, that road wasn't exactly invisible.
Right, it's hard to miss a road.
And utility easements are usually documented, so there's a paper trail.
Yeah, so it's not like they were, you know, trying to hide what they were doing.
No, they were pretty open about it.
Yeah.
And a reasonable person would see all that activity and think, these people must own this land.
Right, especially if they were living next door for, you know, 19 years.
Yeah, exactly. So open and notorious, check.
All right, so now we get to the tricky one, right? Hostile possession. Under claim of right.
Okay, so here's where it gets interesting.
Right. So the Lees, they were wrong about the ditch being the boundary.
Right.
But they truly believed it.
Yeah, they were acting in good faith.
Totally. So the court had to decide, does that matter? You know, does it matter that they made a mistake?
Right. It's not like they were intentionally trying to steal land.
Exactly. And the court basically said, you know what? Their good faith, it does matter.
Okay, so making a mistake isn't a deal breaker.
Right. Because even though they were wrong, they still acted like they owned the land. They built the road, they cleared the brush, they granted the easements.
And all of that was without the Raymonds' permission.
Exactly. So even though it stemmed from a mistake, their actions still went against the Raymonds' rights as the true owners.
So they met the hostile part of the requirement, even if they weren't being, you know, actually hostile.
Exactly. It's about the actions, you know, not necessarily the feelings involved.
Right. It's about asserting ownership.
Exactly.
Okay. So they were acting under claim of right, even if based on a misunderstanding.
Yeah. And the court recognized that.
Cool. So what about continuous and exclusive possession?
Okay. So this is where it gets a little more nuanced, right? Because the Lees, they weren't, you know, living on that strip of land.
Right. It wasn't their house or anything.
And the Raymonds actually did use a footpath on that land every now and then.
Oh, so they were both using it to some extent.
To some extent, yeah. But the court, they looked at the big picture. And they said, look, continuous doesn't mean like 247 occupation.
Yeah, right.
You know, especially for a rural property.
You don't have to be camping out there every night.
Exactly. It's more about how a normal owner would use that type of land.
Makes sense.
And the Lees, their use was pretty consistent over time. The clearing, the road, even those easements, they all pointed to ongoing control.
Right. And the Raymonds just using a footpath, that's pretty minor compared to all that.
Yeah. And crucially, they never objected to what the Lees were doing for 19 years.
So their silence was almost like giving permission.
In a way, yeah. The court basically said, look, if you're the real owner and you see someone using your land like that, you got to speak up. You can't just sit back and do nothing for almost two decades.
Wow. So 19 years, that's a long time to stay quiet.
Yeah. And that really worked in the Lees' favor. It was way more than the required 10 years of continuous use.
So the court decided the Lees had cleared all six hurdles for adverse possession.
They did.
But the Raymonds, they didn't just give up, right?
No, they appealed.
Okay. So what did they argue to the Rhode Island Supreme Court?
Their main argument was basically that the Lees hadn't really proved their case.
Like they hadn't met all the elements.
Right. They especially focused on the open and notorious part. They said that until the state came in and cultivated the land in 1975, the Lees' actions weren't like obvious enough.
So they were saying they weren't really put on notice.
Exactly.
Did the Supreme Court buy it?
No.
Why not?
Well, appellate courts, you know, they give a lot of deference to what the trial court decides.
Meaning they don't usually overturn the trial court's decision.
Exactly. The trial judge, you know, they heard all the evidence firsthand. They saw the witnesses. They looked at the photos, all that stuff.
Right. They're closer to the action.
Exactly. So unless the trial court made some like really obvious mistake or missed something really important, the Supreme Court isn't going to like second guess them.
So they basically said, look, the trial judge was there. We weren't. We're going to trust their judgment.
Exactly. And on top of that, the Supreme Court was really swayed by how long the Lees had been using the land.
19 years, right?
Yeah, way more than the 10 years required by law. That's like, you know, almost double.
Yeah, so it wasn't a close call in terms of time.
No, not at all. And that really sealed the deal for the Lees.
So the Supreme Court ultimately upheld the trial court's decision.
They did, and the Lees officially became the legal owners of that land.
So even though they made a mistake about the boundary, they still won in the end.
Yeah, thanks to adverse possession.
That's wild.
Right. So what can we take away from this case?
Well, I think it shows how important claim of right is.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're wrong about the boundary, if you genuinely believe you own the land, that counts for a lot.
Yeah, it's about acting like the owner.
Right.
It also shows how crucial it is to be open and notorious about your use.
Make it clear to everyone what you're doing.
Yeah, don't be sneaky about it. You know, you want the true owner to be on notice.
Mm-hmm.
And for our listeners who might be landowners, I think there's a big lesson here.
What's that?
Pay attention to your property boundaries.
Right. Know where your lines are.
And if you see your neighbor, you know, doing stuff on your land, you got to speak up. You can't just let it slide for years and years.
Right. Because silence can be interpreted as consent.
Exactly.
So in Lee v. Raymond, the Lees basically gained legal title to this land just because they used it openly and continuously. And the Raymonds didn't object for 19 years.
Yeah, and it all started with a simple mistake about a property line.
It makes you wonder about the bigger implications of adverse possession, you know?
Yeah, kind of a head-scratcher.
Is it fair that someone can lose their land just because they weren't paying close enough attention?
Or, you know, on the other hand, is it good that land gets used and not wasted?
Right. It's this weird balance between protecting property rights and making sure land is being used productively.
Definitely food for thought.
Big time.
All right, that's our deep dive into Lee v. Raymond. Thanks for listening, everyone.
See you next time.
And until then, you know, keep those legal gears turning.
Absolutely.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.